Locked In. It is July 29th, 2018. We're at a round number, 290.
Oh,
podcast 290.
So where does that bring us to, basically?
10 away. So 10 weeks, 2.5 months. Where is that?
Almost 6 years.
September, like October 1st, like around October 1st.
October 1st for our 300th. I have a very special first time guest. Very special first time guest, Russ Steves, legendary.
Russo. Hi, everybody. Steves.
Welcome, Russ.
Glad to be here. Joe Shim. Haven't seen you in 30 years.
It's true. 30 years.
30 years.
Well, you've seen him two or three times, but you just can't remember.
What's funny about that is, like, this group of people is that we get together, and it's as if we haven't spent any
back
time
on
together.
The bike.
Yeah, just like hopping back on a bike.
Or grown up at all.
Susan can attest that we literally have
arrested development.
Arrested.
Mike Coderre is here.
Morning, Joe.
Susan Lipset is here, bringing homemade donuts with the glazed. Goodness. Mike also bought some of his own glaze this morning.
He's got glazed donuts.
His eyes are glazed.
That's not the only thing.
He's got the saucing hat from Harry Potter.
His chin is glazed. His upper lip is glazed.
That's my nighttime treatment for my lips. Lip balm, deep treatment.
Yeah, it was a deep treatment, all right. Yeah. I'm sure it was a deep treatment.
It always is.
It looks like it was a chocolate donut too.
My husband asked now, what did Susan make today?
Chris McCarthy is here, of course.
Good morning, sweetheart.
Russ, I mentioned, and Kim Smith is here.
Good morning, Gloucester.
Kim, horrified.
It was, wasn't it?
It was horrifying.
I don't get over to Gloucester that often, so I'm glad to see you boys and girls.
What is this, like a work release program?
45 minutes takes me to get over here.
49 minutes.
I go to North Conway easier than this.
So Russ,
not at all.
Yeah. Russ was an athlete, a very acclaimed hockey, baseball player, two-way sport, All-American, Bishop Fenwick High School, class of 1985. And now he has taken over the baseball program.
He was actually a Hall of Famer for pocket pool, too.
I didn't know we had that.
Oh, we can go there on this? Oh, beautiful. I'm good now. I'm ready.
Which baseball program?
Bishop Fenwick High School. Yeah, our alma mater. And if you saw the athletic facilities at that school now compared to what we had, it's outrageous.
Sure.
It is unbelievable.
Have you seen what they're doing now? They have gutted all the windows. They've put all these high.
I did see that. Yeah.
It must be because all of the alumni are so successful.
Yes.
That they give them lots of money to do that.
Big contributions. Yeah. All new windows.
Over and over.
If you haven't seen the thing, they're. You know where the foyer is that we used to drive under?
Yeah.
They're going to glass that and make that like a student center, and that's going to be coming out. Yeah, not this year. I think it's next summer. A lot of work over at Fenwick. They just re-turfed the field.
Mm-hmm.
Really? So a lot of money going in over there.
My daughter plays soccer, so towards the end of the spring soccer season, should they play at Brookwood? That field turf gets so hot. Like the kids were the steam was coming off their head, and it wasn't that hot of a day. But something I think that is it true that turf
10 degrees,
10 degrees hotter.
It's 10 degrees difference
because of the concrete underneath.
The turf, something about the turf.
Oh, it's synthetic.
It's rubber in there. The rubber heats up.
It's a heat conductor.
It
doesn't disperse the heat. So tell me, how did they bring you back into the fold as the baseball coach at Fenwick?
So I was there since 2001 with Coach McCarthy at the time. I was his assistant all the way through. He resigned, and I coached there as head coach for 4 years.
And Russ played for Coach McCarthy.
I played for Coach McCarthy.
Right.
Wow.
So then I resigned when Cole was 10 years old, so I could coach him. So I was missing stuff. And then, you know, obviously, I coached Mikey, too, Mike's kid. So the AAU programs, so Cole was 10 through 16, and he's at St. John's Prep. And he said, Dad, I'm going to play Ultimate Disc. He's in the drama program, so he's no longer playing baseball. And then the coach that was at Fenwick resigned literally that week.
Wow.
So I just made a call, and it's timing. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Are you really psyched to be back? Did you miss it when you weren't doing it?
Not really, because I was coaching still.
Yeah.
Different. I was still coaching, but I'm glad to be back.
Yeah.
It's really good.
We had, I say it all the time. It was best time. I mean, I love my life now with Kate. Everything is total bliss and everything. High school.
Was it like the best 10 years of your life?
High school was a tough act to follow from.
High school was unbelievable. That school, and I say this all the time. No slight to Gloucester High School at all. I believe you can get a good education at Gloucester High School. I believe you can get a good education anywhere. The reason why I thought what my parents did for me was so valuable to me was it to got me outside of my comfort zone in Gloucester to, so you're thrust into this situation where you have to meet a completely and integrate and be social with, instead of being with my cousins. I have a ton of cousins,
right?
So like I had this small network of, you know, I knew all the Italian kids in town, and we went to the same parties, did the same things. We went to Bishop Fenwick, like, you were thrust into being a social person right off the bat, or you, it's sink or swim, right?
Sink or swim, right.
Sink or swim. And then when you go to college, it's like, no big deal. You've already been through this of meeting a whole different group of people, you know?
So my wife is from Calgary, Canada, and she cannot believe how we talk about Fenwick and have friendships that, she goes, it's unique, it's rare, something about it. She's it's not even, she's never seen anything like it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we really.
You also must have had a very special class too. I think
that's what it was too, right?
I think you can go class by class.
I think so. We were really.
A lot of faculty says that.
I loved like, you know, it was great though. Like, so we had friends in every town on the North Shore, so we traveled to parties. You know what I mean?
And like being in Hunt or Gloucester,
yeah,
or New
Topsfield,
Report.
New Report.
But that's hard for the parents too. My kids both went to a private school in Atlanta. And their best friends they pick out live like 30 miles away.
Right.
But it's a lot
on the parents.
But the confidence, like the confidence of like, back then we didn't have GPSs on our phones. I had this, remember those
maps.
Those maps that was on a spiral, and you turn the page to go to the next town?
To
find these houses and these house parties. Yeah. And like Newburyport, you know, the Keeleys and, these Beverly and
Mike's house. Mrs. Codea, best party of my life. Thank you very much. Yeah. Mrs. Codea, I want you to know that.
And then my mother shows up the next day to help us clean up. What kind of mother is that? She's the best.
Awesome.
I puked in Chris's house, right?
Oh, yeah. Before the hike up to Mount Chicora.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Everyone stayed at my house. We missed
that
the
was
bus
junior,
ride.
That was junior year? Senior.
That's right.
Junior.
That's crazy.
Yeah. That was a bad.
That's when
bad example. Joe had one beer and he puked.
we had to carry that girl down her ankle.
McGowan, I think.
Long dark hair.
We still talk about.
She's a witch now, I think.
But we carry down the hill.
We have to carry down the hill with long dark, kinky curly hair.
She was the heaviest.
She was a big girl.
Don't say her name, but okay. Now you got that out there. Don't say her name.
But that's when I first started dating Nicole. Right after that trip.
Nicole Fitzgibbons.
That's right.
Rest in peace.
R.I.P.
All right. Here we go.
So anyway, 23rd. Did I thank Susan for bringing the donuts yet?
Yeah. Well, you mentioned it when you were introducing.
I always like to acknowledge the very generous. Everybody loves them. I wanted to mention. I have to thank my friends on the Ellis family on the Thomas Lennon.
Oh yeah.
You didn't go this time, but we had a bourbon cigar sale, cigars courtesy of Plus 90 Cigars, Paul Gigoloni.
Where is that place?
I think he's like online now.
I think
he's online because I spoke to him.
You can't just run.
I got his card.
He used to have like a little
storefront. He's on Amazon.
Yeah.
Is he on Amazon?
Yeah. Don't give out false information. People can be going there. So
when he's virtual, that's what I'm trying to say.
Just say the name of, what's the name of his business again?
It's like Coke.
Every time you say something stupid, I'm going to square you.
So Paul Gigoloni is Plus 90 Cigars.
Plus 90 Cigars.
So want to hear the bourbon lineup they had?
And who did
the bourbon?
They got the bourbon. Yeah.
Oh, they did.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. So they had my one of my top two favorites. They had the Elijah Craig.
Okay.
They had Calumet.
It's Camelot, but go ahead.
No, it isn't.
I'm kidding.
They had one that I didn't care for, Nor'easter, and it's I think it's a brewed down on Nantucket or something like that. Not brewed, but
you're still distilled. Calling it bourbon.
Oh, I think Cisco. I think Cisco Brewery might. That might be their line.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting.
Now that you say that.
So the Widow Jean bourbon is not.
And they had Woodbridge. Woodbridge.
Yeah. Woodbridge Reason.
94 proof or something, right?
And are these all the other ones are made in Kentucky?
You know, I think that, so we had...
And there's no law that says you can't, but people just don't do it.
We...
Okay.
Sorry. So from what I understand, that you're really only supposed to call bourbon, whiskey that has to be made, but that has... people are taking great liberties with that nowadays, from what I understand.
What my son calls cultural appropriation. Like when white people wear kimonos because they're in style this year. Yeah. Or that painting in the MFA with, who is it, Renoir? His wife, or no, Manet, is wearing a kimono. And they had protests there because it was cultural appropriation. People take that problem a little bit too far, I think. But
not in the case of bourbon, though.
In this case. You know, they're known for like whaling and stuff. Let them just have that. You don't see people in Kentucky trying to
do whale shit.
To catch whales.
Yeah.
So just like if it's from Kentucky, we'll call it bourbon. And if it's not, we'll call it whiskey. Even in Tennessee, they call their stuff
Tennessee
whiskey.
Right.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Because on Jack Daniel's bottles, I've seen that's Tennessee whiskey, but they say bourbon on some of their bottles.
No, they don't.
Are you sure?
I think not. You'll have to show me to believe it.
Right.
I think they will.
Well, we'll do a little research.
But you know
on
that county where Lynchburg, Tennessee is too. They can now drink there just recently.
Oh, because
it's a dry county.
Right.
Oh, really?
Until last year.
Didn't we hear something about
right at the Rockport?
Didn't we hear something?
Yeah, that was a role model for them. Let's do that.
I read something that all the 90% of the employees of that town worked for the distillery, Jack Daniel's distillery. And they said that
it's a small town.
But they said that they really take care of their employees there. They're like,
they have to. There's
really
well
taken.
There's no other place for them to get employees.
Well, there you
it's
go.
It's all about gaining and attracting.
Saying it's there.
Yeah.
So
how was the Nantucket whiskey?
Everybody agreed. The general consensus was that was the least favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah, divine retribution, isn't it?
Everybody, most people enjoyed the Elijah Craig. So.
And where's that from?
That has to be from.
I rest my case.
There you go.
Now, what about Asian whiskeys? Have you tried any of those?
Asian?
Yeah.
No, there's some very good whiskeys.
Wasn't there a big shortage?
In 2015, the number one whiskey in the world, voted at the big international competition, was a whiskey produced in Taiwan.
Really? Huh.
Interesting.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, they take it seriously.
Some of the Japanese whiskeys apparently are out. My son-in-law is a whiskey expert, and he loves these Japanese whiskeys.
I read an article about that said that there was one that got one of their distilleries over there at one of these competitions got voted the best whiskey, and it was they're very angry over there. Because it was a super affordable whiskey. And when after they won that award, they tripled the price, and none of the people over there can.
It's also occurring in the sake distillers.
Oh, oh yeah.
The popularity of whiskey with the younger generation in Japan.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah. So we're on the boat, which is the most beautiful boat in Gloucester Harbor. I think we all can agree that Thomas.
You tell us
that.
Every week, so it's like.
It's true.
We're brand new.
Because the people are the nicest people in the world, Chris. Is that not a great time?
That's a great time.
Should anybody that comes to Gloucester, so say you're a tourist in Gloucester, would you say this is the number one thing they ought to do? Is
go on. Must do.
Must do, right?
It's one of the top ones on TripAdvisor.
Is it really? Well,
yeah. Oh, really?
It should be.
I occasionally look at TripAdvisor, things to do in Gloucester, just to make sure we haven't missed anything.
It's so beautiful, and the people are so friendly.
Oh.
I say that I know that I'm a broken record. I keep skipping on this topic because they honestly deserve the accolades. But here we're going to get to a point where we can have a real discussion.
Oh, okay, sorry. I was going to say. No,
we're going to have a real discussion.
No one wants to get to my topic.
Sorry.
What is it?
She can't stand. She don't want me to get to the topic.
What's the topic?
This is what I'm trying to get there.
You need a drum roll?
No. So we're on the boat. So I barely made the boat. The boat leaves at 6. I had a boat, one of my last lobster boats, showed up at the dock at 5:45. So I had to take out the boat. I had to make up the crates. I had to wash down the floor. I had to organize everything, get the truck loaded. Luckily, the truck pulled in at the same time as the last boat. And I made it. I was 5 minutes late, but they held the boat for me.
Oh, they did? Oh.
That's why you need a summer intern.
So exactly. So we get, so I, so needless to say, I went on the boat with no food. And we had a crazy day on Friday.
Oh,
it was the last day of the, you know,
right,
big week. And I'm starving. So I get off, towards the end of the boat ride, I'm like, at the same time.
So you're drinking,
you didn't have any food
this
on
was
the
a,
boat?
What?
There was no food on
no,
the boat?
No, booze, but no food.
So you should have a little.
So this cruise was primarily for members of the Gloucester Barbecue Delegation, the group that we have, 144 members,
right,
and then the Weber Kettle Club Northeast chapter, to get together and kind of talk about our nerdy barbecue stuff that we talk about.
Right.
But mostly, I had people from Atlanta, from upstate New York, from Western Mass,
everywhere.
From everywhere for this thing. And I said, we're going to go for roast beef sandwiches after the cruise, and then we're going to go to the crow's nest. So they're looking at me like, roast beef
sandwiches?
What are you talking about, roast beef sandwiches?
We're there in Gloucester.
So they are not. I'm trying to figure out where the region stops, where you can mention Nick's roast beef and people understand what a three-way is.
At 93.
Three-way.
At 93.
What are we talking about? It's very sandwiches or?
No.
Do you
know
provincial.
What?
It's just this area. Yeah. People don't know what you're talking about.
I think do they have them south of Boston or is it just north of Boston? Because obviously Kelly's roast beef, right?
No, I think I've seen them in Connecticut maybe.
They
got great pizza.
All right, okay, let's not get off topic.
Okay,
so roast beef sandwiches are thinly that we know of.
Right.
They have no
rare, medium rare,
top of the round, sliced super thinly.
Right.
Has to be James River barbecue sauce, and then to me that puts it over the top is the bun. On the flat, you know, with the butter on the flat top.
Isn't bad on it either, with the barbecue sauce.
Look, just his mouth's wide.
I'm fucking drooling.
Like I found.
I don't have any napkins. I'm drooling all over myself. So, there have been many discussions. When we were back in high school, we weren't of drinking age, even though we were going to parties. But like when the parties got broken up. Inevitably, the meeting places were one of two places. If we were kind of on the northern side, it would be Nick's roast beef.
Is that really right?
But if we were closer to Danvers or Peabody, we would go to Supreme Roast Beef, which was in Danvers Square.
And I used to go to Land and Sea, which is Peabody.
Which is South Peabody, right? Or West Peabody?
South Peabody, yeah.
South Peabody.
In Redding, we didn't
South
even
Peabody.
Have this roast beef.
Diet.
I grew up in Redding. There was no roast beef there growing up.
Yeah. So, to you, now I put it out to you. A, who has the best roast beef sandwich? B, how do you take your roast beef?
That's a little personal joke.
Yeah.
I take my beef any way I can get it, first of all. Three-way, land and sea.
Three-way, land and sea. Interesting.
What's three-way?
Sauce, cheese, mayo.
Mayo, cheese.
Sauce, cheese, mayo. I go sauce, cheese, mayo. Three-way, extra sauce.
Horseradish and barbecue sauce.
Mm. Interesting. I'm gonna have to try. I'm gonna try
onion rings on the side.
Yep. Oh. Yeah.
Pizza roll.
That sounds.
Remember
like
the pizza roll?
Onion rings.
There we go. Kelly's is good. I like Kelly's.
What's your favorite roast beef sandwich on the north? You might have a little more information than us. Where do you think the line of demarcation where people don't know what a roast beef sandwich is? Where does it end?
China.
I-93.
The tradition. What we're talking. You know what? What I speak of when I say a roast beef sandwich.
Hartford, Connecticut.
They have them down there?
You can get them written around there.
That's what Susan said. Yeah.
I was going to say,
my son went to Wesleyan, so I was down there.
Ryan Stelly might pump one out for you here in Vernon, Connecticut.
Have you ever had beef on a wick?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I was in upstate New York, right outside of Buffalo, visiting with a company. Actually, it was a
we don't care what the company
producer,
was.
Oatka.
Oh,
Nope.
You sent an NDA?
No. And it was this bread roll with caraway seeds, and they drench it in the ajou, and it's this beef that's been sitting in the juice, and they just throw it on this bread. And
is it thinly sliced? Is it thinly sliced?
Yeah, thinly sliced.
Interesting.
So it was like their version of a roast beef sandwich.
Of a next roast beef
sandwich. But I had never heard beef on a wick.
Yeah.
And it was
much better than a garbage plate, not that way.
I like Kelly's roast beef in Revere.
Really?
Yeah, I like that.
I like any Kelly's.
Yeah.
You know what makes my roast beef a gem is an onion roll.
You like you so if you get a super, if you get a super, you get the onion roll.
Yeah.
That's
I'm a junior beef roll guy.
Yeah, a little bit of powder on there.
Why don't you grill us some roast beef and I'll make the onion rolls?
Oh, wow.
Because we to do it right, you have to like that has to be like. There's a very they do it a special way. I think they do. I think they cook them at like 225 for 10 hours or something
you can
like
do that.
Yeah, what's wrong with that, Joe?
You have a commercial slicer you can get it that thin?
My neighbor has a slicer.
Yeah. Wouldn't be a bad idea to try to take it to the next level. Oh, I like that idea.
Try to replicate.
We might have to do that. We might have to do that for the 300th podcast.
I won't be
here. This Supreme.
That first frost on the pumpkin.
This Supreme's is pretty good. So just recently.
Gotta go pack for the cruise.
In the past. In the past couple of days, I've heard from a couple of different people that mentioned a worthy place to go, and it's totally off of my radar. I have not eaten there yet. Is Greg's Roast Beef across from the train station?
Oh.
So we have to try it. I might send you on a mission so that we can
do a blind taste test.
I'm in. I'll
Rose
pay.
Cliff.
I won't get
there.
No.
So everything's gonna be a Rose Cliff. Well, I can't get away from work.
So tell us what happened.
I haven't gone. So I'll get back to the thing.
Yeah.
So I brought all these people. I brought 30 people.
A boatload of people.
I brought 30 literally. People, literally a boatload of people, into Supreme Roast Beef in Gloucester, and minds were blown.
That's where they used to be chips?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. They're really nice.
Minds were blown. Minds were blown. Because they'd never had that before. They'd never experienced that.
That's interesting.
So I'm going to go. The next part of the story is we go to the Crow's Nest.
How much is the roast beef sandwich there? Because Kelly's went up. The price
Kelly's is outrageous.
Lot.
I don't even put Kelly's on my thing because like a roast beef plate there is like $16.
Like $9 and something.
Kelly's roast beef.
Yeah.
The price is bananas.
Well, I didn't have that.
It used to be $4.75. I remember.
How about the price of clams? Too, like $25 for a clam plate, my parents said at Doobie's.
Oh, 30 sometimes.
Yeah. Really? Clams are so
well, when you get rain, if you get rain, they have to shut the flats down. Right. So they when they shut the flats down,
it
like,
jacks the price.
How much is the sandwich at Supreme?
So you got it was just over $10 for a medium Coke, and they have to use the crushed ice, the Diet Coke with the crushed ice, string fries, and a large roast beef sandwich three-way.
With an onion roll or no onion roll?
No onion roll because I didn't get a super. I got a large. I didn't want to be too bloated for my people. So anyway, we ended up going. It's a joke, Russ. It's a joke. So we go from there to what has come to be my favorite bar in Gloucester.
The Crow's Nest.
Yeah. Which is bananas.
No, I know why you love it.
It's so bad, but we go in there with a crew. Chris has been there.
Yeah.
Chris can attest.
Yeah.
We go in there. Everybody's super friendly. The bartenders make the best shots. We had a pancake shot.
Pancake shot.
We had pancake
Bloody
shots.
Mary
what's a pancake shot? What's
Jameson. Butterscotch schnapps.
Yeah, butterscotch schnapps.
And with an orange juice chaser.
Yeah.
It tastes like a pancake in your mouth. I swear to God, you'll swear you just ate a pancake.
Does it come with a pink hat?
As opposed to a pancake up your ass. Because the two taste different.
Does it come with a pink hat, Joey?
No, you don't have the pink pussy hat. You don't have to wear the pink pussy hat to go there. So, I just had to settle every time. So I got engaged there. Of all places, I got engaged.
Yeah, that was a beautiful time.
Yeah,
and we had a blast.
Yeah, thanks for inviting.
That's where every girl wants to get engaged.
Yeah, that's the perfect storm, right?
That's their dream. When they're little girls, they dream. I hope someone proposes to me. at the crow's nest when I grow up.
A true gentleman.
Yeah.
It was the only way I was going to be able to surprise her. It was the only way I was going to be able to surprise her.
And whisk me off to the crow's nest.
I had
where
reservations.
Where you would get down on one knee, but the floor's too dirty. So
it's not dirty there.
It's not dirty.
Don't.
You know, they have the best popcorn in town too.
Chris
free
just
popcorn.
Devours the popcorn.
Popcorn.
It's free, so he just stuffs his face with the popcorn.
Butter and truffle sauce. Like
hey, but that's not on your program. Yeah. You're not doing the popcorn anymore.
You have to bring some.
It doesn't travel well. You got to eat it right away.
Yeah, because it gets that.
No, you don't want that.
I can't eat popcorn anymore. Every time I eat popcorn, I get the kernel stuck underneath my tongue, and I can't get them out.
Yeah. No, that's not pleasant.
It's horrible.
Awful. Have you ever been to the crow's nest?
Yes.
I can't believe it.
My,
I can't picture.
With my my sister-in-law and her husband wanted to go. We have fun.
Yeah, when I have visitors around in town who want to go there, I drop them off.
I'm going to tell you something. If you went in there, I bet you had a great. You have a great time.
Oh, yeah.
It's not rough and tumble.
No.
People think it's like this.
Oh, but it can be when he shows up.
When the
lover, not a fighter.
Yeah.
My sister and brother-in-law.
When the yuppies show up from Middleton, then it gets really crazy in there.
I went on the prowl for white bucks last weekend.
You walked in there with white bucks?
Yeah, no,
our tent sale starts Wednesday.
I got some. I'm good. But
my first go-to was Mark Adrian.
Yeah.
And they didn't have them there, but I've ventured out Nordstrom's, Brooks Brothers. The original buck was not white. It was like a beige-colored buck. I learned that when I was
a little off-color white.
Yeah.
Did you wear them, Russ?
No. Red soul.
You didn't wear them. Do you wear them?
Russ wore
them. He didn't have the courage. Russ didn't have the courage for those.
No, I was. If you remember, I wear clogs in high school.
You wore clogs.
Army wore clogs too.
With Tello's pants.
Was that all
pink socks?
With pink socks.
Was that the hockey team? Yes. Was that a hockey team
thing?
And was it a special kind of clog?
No, I just wore pink socks one day because Chris said I wouldn't do it, so I did. Actually, I got it from him because he wore everything pink. He had pink underwear back then.
Yeah.
Well, what they used to do? What they used to do in East Boston?
That's why I got the Dapper Dan Award.
What they used to do in East Boston is they wouldn't separate the reds and the whites because there wasn't enough water to go around, so all his whites turned pink.
So did you find a pair of bucks that you liked? Wait, Chris, did you wear the bucks in high school?
No, I didn't wear bucks.
You didn't wear them?
No, we did.
We wore them.
Yeah.
Peacoats and bucks.
Yeah, peacoats.
We all wore peacoats back then.
Yeah. Oh, my grandfather's cashmere jacket.
With parachute pants, don't forget about
parachute
those.
Parachute from Tello's.
Yeah, my legs were so thin that I couldn't pull off the parachute pants. I was such a scrawny.
Because you'd blow away.
Yeah,
you were a kite. You were
doing a kite.
Only
a parachute.
Yeah.
Joe, come back.
I was so frail.
How about our favorite memory of Joe Shimotaro in high school?
Yeah, there's a bunch of them, right? Which one do we pick? From what year? Can we do a memory from each year?
From each year? How about each week?
I remember Joe being well-dressed. Always well-dressed with a collar up.
He did wear the gold chain outside the collar, though. Remember that?
Collar always up.
Yeah.
Prancing like...
Yeah. There was no guessing he wasn't Italian for sure.
My favorite memory of Joe is I was
is
lonely
that
one day.
Horn?
You could tell I was lonely, and he's like, "Chris, what's going on?" I'm like, "Nothing." He saw that I was out of sorts, so he hooked me up with a lovely lady from the Gloucester area that I went to the junior prom with. Want to thank you, Joe.
Kim Warren. I wasn't supposed to say his name.
I got to witness this shit.
So now over to me for my favorite Joe memory, and that's when he paid. Respects the Jay Giles band and did the
Must Have
Got Lost opening monologue, which was about 6 minutes long.
What it
did?
Talent show?
If you heard me pull up with the song playing, Thomas Dolby Hyperactive, that was a song that brought me that memory because that was a high school song of mine. And I said, favorite Joe moment is definitely when you did Reputed the Buddha.
Let down
your head and become glad of your love. That was awesome, man.
That was probably my favorite.
Your favorite, good.
Yeah,
you have kept your pants on, though.
Because we had such good. We had, you know what? Our school traveled to games.
Yeah.
You know, we supported the athletes, the basketball team, the hockey team.
Joe, you're lying.
Well, it was the only way to get into a party.
Lying, Joe. No one ever showed up to a golf tournament.
or a tennis one. Or a tennis one, trust me. Or a tennis one, trust me.
I didn't see one of you assholes.
Yeah. Chris was captain of the golf team. I was captain of the tennis team. And these guys are hockey guys. They were getting all the girls.
That
were,
you know, we had a team. Golf or tennis.
You know, usually people who play with sports tend to be more and more fun.
Lisa? Yes, that's true.
Yeah. You never heard the term locker room talk?
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah,
it's been rebranded.
There you go. Russ, where do you live now?
Georgetown.
Oh, really? You grew up in Peabody?
Salem. Went in Fenwick, and then went to, I lived in Florida for a little while. We used to work for Carnival Cruise Lines for 7 years.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Bursar.
He was Gopher. He was Gopher.
Cool.
Yeah. Gopher, I'm loving it. So a little bit in Miami, but then I came back. I was in Peabody for a little while, and now I'm Georgetown.
So when you lived in Peabody or Salem, did you ever go to Brody's Pub?
Did.
Was it?
Champions was my hang, but yeah.
We used to go to Brody's Pub at on Thanksgiving morning, and it would be a blessing to John Purcell, the unit director from the junior high school, because that's where I went to school, at the Higgins. And every Thanksgiving morning, for like more than, say, 8 or 9 years, we'd open at 8 o'clock or whatever, and we spent the morning there. We had a lot of good stories out of that place.
Good place.
Russ and I used to play hockey against each other when we were kids, like 8 years old, 10 years old, Peabody, Salem.
Oh, wow.
And we met at Fenway.
That's funny.
Yeah, it was my mission to try to knock him through the boards if I could find him. I just wanted to kill him.
Hey, you said it. If you could catch him,
yeah. If you could catch him, I just
those
wanted
defensemen.
I just wanted to kill him.
We used to ring each other's bell.
Oh yeah,
we did.
Oh, yeah.
It was constantly. Fun. We yeah, from age like 10, 11, 12, 13 yep. years old, he was on the point, and I was the wing, and yep. we had run all the time, banging each other like two mules, two Rams.
We had a great lunch at Brody's yesterday. My son is the cook and runs the kitchen there.
Really,
the
Brody's? Oh, yeah. Yeah, great place.
Great steak tips. Known for their steak tips.
Yeah, that's something you don't find much outside the Northeast.
That's
either.
Right. The word steak
tips.
Absolutely.
You don't see them on restaurant
because
menus much. You don't see them to buy in the store.
Absolutely.
And I kind of miss them.
They don't even know what it is. If I'm somewhere else and I say, I'm going to get some steak tips, they're like...
It's sure one. So when I got into barbecue, right, there's online forum, you know, you go to these online forums, barbecue
right.
forums, to learn, right? You want to get as much knowledge
yeah,
as you can.
Yeah, we do that with our big green egg.
So you type in the term steak tips, and like people, these like people that have been barbecuing their whole life had no idea what I was talking
right.
about.
Yeah. Well, really, no, you get out of this region.
And you can do Google searches, and it's really a super regional thing. Like you have
it
to
is.
Go like 5 pages deep on a Google search to get to any resemblance
but
of what.
But then they took it too far. Now,
busy,
like, once people in New England figured out about the steak tips, now they got like turkey tips,
yeah.
pork tips,
yeah. Yeah.
swordfish yeah. tips, everything yeah. now they just want the tips.
I feel like...
The steak tips are the best of the tips.
Yeah.
But I feel like you can't buy those pre-marinated meats because it's all the stuff that's ready to go on the taint that they just bury it with some sauce
oh,
or
yeah.
put it
no,
out there to move it up.
There's a couple of places where you can get good ones.
So?
Yeah,
Butcher Boy is really good.
Yeah.
But there's not one around here. You
get it. Where's Butcher Boy?
I'll tell you
Butcher
another.
There's one
North Andover.
North Andover.
North
Andover.
So sorry.
But there's another place in little close.
That might as well be Canada.
Let me tell you about the place that I actually get my tips from now. The Tuckaway Tavern. Up in New Hampshire.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the
travel. Oh, they were on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
By far.
Yes.
The best I've ever had.
But what city is it in?
This is in Nottingham, New Hampshire, I think.
Yeah.
Nottingham.
It's not Nottingham. It's
the forest?
The Tuckaway State Park.
Yeah, it was on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives not too long ago. We
yes,
saw it, and
forest.
It looks amazing.
Susan, I need you to
have,
do a little research on this. Give me the location.
Like Joe's
yeah.
lobsters out there.
Yeah.
All different flavors.
We should go on a field trip there, really.
Incredible.
Is that before or after
yeah.
we do the roast, the homemade roast beef sandwiches?
Yeah. Well, you can't leave the state, so
you can't leave the bridge.
Raymond, New Hampshire.
Raymond.
Oh, yeah, that's what I want to
want, I think. The Tuckaway Tavern.
How far over the border
awesome.
Is that?
Yeah,
no,
where
I'm
is
telling
Raymond, New Hampshire?
Not too far.
Raymond, New Hampshire. Well, funny
it's
you should
this
ask.
Side of
I
Manchester.
Have it right here on Google Maps.
This side of Manchester? So not too far.
No.
Yeah, but for Boston people, it's an hour and a half.
Yes, it is 1 hour and 15 minutes from here.
So I have to
for me, it's
go,
right up
95.
Yeah,
95
to 101.
Yeah.
I have to go to Jaffrey, New Hampshire.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's a place
I'll
I can
check it out sometime.
Go on my
all
way.
In.
Well,
in.
I'm going to look. It's
next
not,
time we
it's
happen
on
by
Highway 101.
Yeah.
It's like midway between 93 and 95.
Okay.
Deaver Grill. Yeah.
Not
know.
Very far north.
I think he is.
Was lost,
so
though.
I could make it a
yeah.
stop.
Rockport,
it's like
Rockport, yeah.
right. about latitude-wise, a little, just a little bit between Hampton Beach and Portsmouth.
Okay.
Brendan?
Right.
I could go there on my way to Jaffrey. I could, you know, make a little zigzag.
Now, another good place to go that was on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, and they have three or four locations, is the Red Arrow Diner.
Okay.
See, I've never heard of that one.
I go on my way up to King Arthur.
Have you ever heard of the Red Arrow Diner?
Like Derry, there's one. Manchester, there's one. It's, they have delicious.
The Red Flame on 44.
Which is something you also don't find
you
outside New England.
You don't find that poutine, right?
Poutine is delicious.
isn't that a
they
Canadian
have, thing? They have a fancy restaurant in Atlanta that has poutine. It's very good, but it's unusual to find it.
But isn't that a Canadian thing?
About 114.
It is.
Yeah.
They have poutine.
Vermont, New Hampshire,
do you know they have poutine at the Blue Brew Pub?
Yeah.
Cultural appropriation, again.
Yeah.
They have poutine at the Brew Pub in Cape Ann Brew.
Oh, I didn't know. Is it good?
I don't know. I haven't tried it.
Joe, I bumped into someone that I think knows you, over Russ. He lives right next to Russ, Brian Anderton.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Grew up the one street over from
yeah,
me.
Yeah, so I don't want to take up the time, but I
yeah,
wanted
yeah.
to tell
nice
you
guy,
you.
Nice guy.
Yeah.
Brian's good friend. He was a baseball player too, wasn't he?
I don't think so.
Are you sure?
Basketball.
Oh yeah, okay. Did he do some DJing and stuff like that?
I don't know.
He might have done some DJing when he was young.
He married my cousin.
Really?
Yeah, man, he's dead.
Their steak tips are award winning.
Which ones?
The Tuckaway Tavern.
Right. I'm telling you right now.
Here's the recipe.
That's where I go.
You don't even need it.
So next weekend, speaking of... So next weekend is the Bluefin Blowout.
Wow, that's exciting. They put so much preparation into this. It's amazing.
It is a great take. It's a family fun event. If
and the best tuna in the world.
Yes.
The best tuna.
Yeah.
Do you know that less than 1% by weight, all tuna caught is bluefin tuna?
What's that?
Less than 1% by weight of all the tuna caught annually is bluefin in the world.
Oh, really? Wow.
Wow.
So that's special. Are those friends of yours, Joe?
I'm giving them the big finger right out the window.
Hey, raise the bridge. They're going back over the island.
Yeah. Make them sit at the bridge.
Make them sit at the bridge.
Put up the gate and the drawbridge.
Oh, my God. So, anyway, go to that.
Just found the recipe for those steak tips from Tuckaway.
Yes.
She is on. You're locked in right now. What's the over under on how many more times she's going to mention the takeaway diner by the end of the podcast? I'm going three.
Until you learn to pronounce it, I'm going to keep saying.
I'm saying three, and I'm taking the over.
I'm not sending you this recipe.
That was bold, Joe.
I was going to send it to you.
Three's bold, and the over is even more bold.
I'm just saying.
For the Bluefin Blowout, hasn't it been extended to Thursday? So, like, there's, like, a lot more, it seems to me.
There is crazy. Bluefinblowout.com, go there. There's a crazy number of events for everyone to take part in.
And people should know, too, that so much of the proceeds go to
Alzheimer's research.
Yeah.
Close to our heart. Jim Mascarelli's book launch is tonight.
Yes, and Susan's
6:30 at the Rocky Neck Cultural Center, but you have to get a free ticket on Eventbrite if you want to go.
Well, when this airs, it's already going to happen.
You've already read half the book, right?
I've read half the book.
Is it lots of good history in
lots of good Gloucester history, and just a lot about like pirates.
Well, it's fiction, though.
But you can really relate to the setting. They're a historical accuracy.
Yeah,
you didn't make up the history.
Yeah,
is it a fast read? It's a very fast
good beach read.
The first scene takes place in my neighborhood, so I was, you know, I like that. I can picture more vividly the places he's talking about, and then it moves to other coastal kind of settings. But
Jim was on. What's the name of the book?
Beyond Beauport.
Yeah. Right.
I got the Kindle.
Congratulations.
The Kindle edition.
Congratulations.
Yeah, congrats to him.
Yeah.
Quite a project.
You know what, to be published nowadays is big time.
Yeah.
Wilson's plover, very rare.
Very rare, yeah, unbelievably rare. And I didn't know it when I was watching it, or I would have tried to get more footage and photos.
So explain this, what's happened.
So I was on the beach checking on our piping plover. They were going back, and this is when they were going back and forth between the parking lot and the beach. And so I checked on the parking lot, then I went to check on the beach, and it was very dense fog. And the little flock of them was just going along the tide, you know, the shoreline, like the plovers often do. And I'm looking at them going, wow, those aren't piping plovers. Those aren't black-bellied plovers. Those aren't semi-palmated plovers. What are they, right? So I'm like, I just took some photos and a tiny bit of video footage. And so then I said to Dave Rimmer from Essex Greenbelt, he knows a lot about birds, I said, I think there's some Wilson's plovers down on the beach. Wow. And he goes, oh, no, that can't be, right?
Oh, wow.
Right. And so he goes down and he says, yeah, I saw two of them. So oh. Then I posted it on Good Morning Gloucester
and
on my website. And then about, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, I got a call from the Massachusetts Avian Records Committee secretary. And they were so excited because there's never been a sighting of more than one seen at one time in Massachusetts ever. Because they, I mean, it's very, very rare for them to even be in New Jersey. So, as far north as New Jersey. So,
maybe anyway. They're looking for the roast beef sandwiches.
They could well, be. They could
well,
be on
well,
the
have,
hunt.
Well, to have three tips. Like that is, you know, well, I, you know, there are theories that because of global climate change, species are moving away from the equator and away from the poles. So that means that they're heading more towards the mid-latitudes, which we are a part of. So we could, maybe this is the first of many. But, you know, sometimes I think, like, maybe they've been here many times before.
So we could have more bird sanctuaries then
as time goes by.
I'm just waiting for them to finally anoint you the top of the
bird. How would we designate an additional bird sanctuary? Like, we have one in the Audubon Society in Topsfield, and we have the sanctuary out in Plum Island.
I think the
do we have one east?
They should
northeast?
Put one. You know where they should put one?
In Dogtown.
You know where your backyard is?
Yeah.
Like, right there. They should make that all sanctuary for miles and miles and miles so no one can ever build there. And you can have, and you can use it as
you know,
your personal playground.
Like, I think
you know what they call that?
Sometimes the birds determine the sanctuary. Because, like,
right.
as a direct result of the Boston Harbor cleanup, Winthrop Beach became this amazing, Winthrop and Revere beaches both became these amazingly beautiful, clean beaches
right.
that birds now nest on, which is just like,
you know. Hitchcock's having a comeback.
Yeah.
Well, you should see these
where's
birds called least terns. I think the birds that Hitchcock was thinking about were least terns. Because they're a rare nesting bird, and they dive bomb you when...
Were those really terns in the movie?
I don't know, but I think that must have given him the inspiration. When I go film the least terns, I wear a big hat. And,
one of those safari ones with the mosquito netting, maybe?
Well, no, because they dive bomb you, and because...
So they can't
poop,
peck your eyes out.
And they poop on you, so...
Yeah, but you don't want them to peck your eyes out.
Yeah, I don't want them to, but, you know, I don't get... Like, I see people walking around with umbrellas when they go see them.
Right.
They don't bother me because I just
maybe
stand.
Maybe they just want that for the sun.
They're wearing them because of the least terns. Because if you're visiting them at certain times when they're nesting, when they're building their nest, or when they're...
So they're a hazard to society.
Do they just poop more than other birds?
No, but they poop on you on purpose. On purpose to get you.
We gotta eradicate
them. Know the motives of the birds.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
We gotta eradicate them.
No.
You gotta target on
there's
your head.
You
just got done telling me they poop on you on purpose
genocide.
And they dive bomb at your face and try and peck your eyeballs out.
At Cranes Beach, they have a fabulous colony at Cranes. You know.
Maybe Ipswich will be the next bird sanctuary. There's not one already.
Yeah, there already is one.
Oh, there is?
Yeah,
Cranes.
Why, do you own some property there that you want to increase in value?
No, Cranes Beach is in Ipswich. That's an amazing bird
is
sanctuary.
Is it like a protected sanctuary?
No, they have people and birds. So the birds choose an area, but also when you create an area, that provides the right habitat and the food, then they come as well. So it's a combination of both. So we're very fortunate in our area. We have cranes and Parker River National Wildlife Refuge. We're just very, very fortunate. We're surrounded by so many beautiful wildlife areas.
I agree.
It's incredible. Massachusetts is an incredible state. Really, really is. Where else do they have this kind of, you know, along the coast?
We have this thing that we're like this peninsula and it sticks out. So we're a perfect place to land, you know,
right,
for our stopovers.
Right.
Well,
so
certain times of the year.
Yeah, so I always wonder, well, I saw the Wilson's plovers. Maybe they've been here before.
If a tree falls in the woods.
Right, because it's like maybe they've been coming more regularly than we know.
Yeah, we attracted a lot of things.
But anyway, so
we can't ask them.
Yeah, so I filled out the forms, sent them the video footage, and sent them the photos. So now they
have.
Did
you get a prize or anything?
No,
your name on.
No. But it's just really good to have a record of it, especially since there was more than one. Because that means that they're
birds of a feather.
Right? And but we may be seeing, for example, cardinals. 100 years ago, we had no cardinals that wintered over in Massachusetts. And now because the area is warming, we now have cardinals.
Right.
And also promoted by backyard bird feeding as well, I think. But now we have cardinals all year round up here. You wouldn't know that because you're a snowbird, right?
Correct.
You're a snowbird.
Cardinals are making a big push.
We have plenty of birds.
Yeah. We have a beautiful
all year long.
Pair of cardinals, right? When we look out our kitchen window is our outside shower, and there's a nest right there with the cardinals in it.
Yeah, we got some cardinals
right
there.
That's cool.
Love the cardinals.
Yeah, it's really cool to watch.
And they're so Christmassy looking. It's lucky if you get...
Yeah.
Well, it's so wild, but you can really spot them.
Yeah. The males are the brilliant, brilliant red, and the females are much more muddy colored. Yeah, that's because they're sitting on the nest more, so they blend in better.
Well, they don't have to attract.
It's
just like everything else. The men have to do all the work to get laid.
Is there any natural predator?
Like the twist turns, right?
Oxide.
Dangling the fish.
It's everything.
Coyotes.
Coyote, yep.
What would prey on cardinals?
Yeah.
Coyote.
Fox? No, not mammals like that.
How about raptors?
Raptors would. Large predatory birds would.
A coyote wouldn't eat a cardinal?
Then
I mean, if it was dead on the ground, it would. But,
ooh,
you know, coyotes can't fly. So.
We know that.
But,
so another bird of prey would pick up a cardinal?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. I'm going to go over a few thank yous again. I want to thank Craig Kimberly for hosting our barbecue delegation barbecue yesterday. I want to thank...
What did you barbecue?
What?
What did you barbecue?
We did 3 racks of spares. We had 25 or so lobsters on a big ranch kettle.
Are you going to put pictures
the
on the morning
first?
I did it on Northeast... What?
Do you kill the lobsters before you put them on the grill or you just throw them on the grill?
Well, we parboiled them before we grilled them.
Oh, you parboiled?
Yeah.
Okay.
About 15 minutes parboiled, not completely cooked.
Yeah.
Split them in half.
Yeah.
Actually, take the tails off, cook the heads, backside down or topside down. The top of the lobster head and claws upside
dorsal
down, laying on its backside.
I'm laying on the backside.
And then split the tails down the middle. And Craig did this. I didn't do this. I just boiled them. He did the preparation.
Yeah, just like you know how to do it.
He got a bunch of herbs, fresh from Hannah's garden.
Right.
Mashed it up with. I got 3 pounds of butter.
Oh wow! Mashed up.
And
the butter.
He stuffed the cavity of the tails with the butter.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds.
Put it down on the back side first, so like it's like a cradle.
The shell side.
The shell side down.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. So that the butter would melt all into all the crevices of the tail.
Energy.
And then just for a couple
of, if you put it the other way.
Absolutely it would have. So only for a couple of seconds at the end, turn it over the flame.
So
over the flame.
Yeah.
Yeah, charcoal, so it's
pretty hot.
It's ripping. And just to get a little char and a little smoke on it, done.
Yeah.
They were unbelievable.
So, they have two questions. So you called, when I cook a lobster, what size lobsters are these?
Cause small.
Because when I cook,
chicken lobsters?
When I cook like a 1¼ to 1½ pounder, I cook it for like 10 to 12 minutes. So when you say parboil, did you cook it for 15 minutes?
We steamed them. I don't know, it might have been 12. I don't know.
Oh, okay. So it's not really cooking at too much at all when it's on the grill.
We're steaming them.
I use Jasper White's cooking time chart, and it's different times for boiling and steaming,
which
I thought was interesting.
And
he has a parboiling, a par cooking chart as well. That book has everything you need to know.
Oh, that's good to know.
Send you a copy. I'll Xerox it.
Would you?
That's really good to know.
Remind me to Xerox it.
Send it to her and maybe do a post about it.
No, I'll just Xerox it. I'll bring you all copies.
They're great. And, I just lost my chair.
What else did you do? So you had the lobster.
You had spare ribs and lobster.
Meatballs stuffed with mozzarella wrapped with bacon.
Delicious.
That sounds perfect.
It was outrageous. Neil Matthews, Bridget's husband.
Did you put a sauce on the meatballs?
He did, barbecue sauce on them. Towards the end, because the sugar will,
Sounds good.
Neil Matthews, Bridget's husband, made, did four pork tenderloins. Two of them were maple glaze. They're hot with a little bit of heat. And they made jerky. I should mention Neil and Bridget made jerky for the Lannan crews, and they did a jalapeno pepper.
I love jerky.
So there was food on there.
This was the first.
Just not enough for you.
There was jerky.
Yeah, well, that's a little something.
Homemade jerky.
That's a little something to drink on an empty stomach when you're hungry.
That's
at
terrible.
Least the jerky helped.
Well, if you're a professional like me, you can withstand this.
If I have a glass of wine and I'm on an empty stomach, I'm like, I'm loopy.
Yeah, I can't.
When these
it.
Events come up, I'm all anxiety the week leading up to it, and I'm running on
adrenaline.
Yeah. Anyway, so I get up for these events.
Yeah, it's all about the anticipation.
Yeah.
You worry. It comes.
No,
you let it rip, and then you have a great time, and then you're like, I can't believe I worried about that.
Yeah, embrace it.
Oh. So there's that. Yeah. All right. I wanted to thank Paul Gigoloni plus 90 Cigars. I wanted to thank the Lannan, the Ellis family on the Lannan, and their crew. They're so fantastic.
First class operation.
I'm psyched that Chris brought Russ Steves by, longtime friend. And I wanted to say thank you. I wanted to say thank you. Happy birthday to my niece and nephew, BJ and Amanda. They turned 20 today. I'm horrified at what it's going to be like next year. In the heat of the summer, turning 21. Those two animals.
Should start saving up the bail money now.
Save up the bail.
Take a collection.
My sister does elaborate birthdays for them to this day. Like, usually they plan and they go. She asks them what they do, but then she'll take them into Boston on like these hunts, and then it's so over the top, it's so wild. Like, I know for a period of in their teens that they would complain about having to do it, but then when they did it, they always enjoyed it. And I'm looking forward to the day, and I don't know if this has already happened or not, because I know they always are kind of begrudgingly, I don't want to, have like a 2-year-old, a 2-year-old's birthday party, but like, I hope that this is the day that they say to her, Ma, you know when you went so over the top for us, and it was so crazy every year.
20th birthday party.
I hope they say, thank you so much, because you really made it special, rather than just letting.
Yeah, my son's 26 now, and he's gotten to that point where he will reminisce about something from his childhood and how we went the extra mile for him.
Yeah.
It just comes out of the blue that he remembers these things, and it's so heartwarming.
Yeah, I'm sure.
That I think,
because
think
there's so
happen.
Many years that little kids are so self-absorbed. They have no concept of what you're doing for them. I get it. No, I absolutely they are. But then, like, when they come out of it, when, and then they they start to recognize what you do for them.
Yeah.
I imagine that's really nice.
Yeah, my son's been doing that, and it really is so gratifying.
How old is your son? 26.
Yeah. Asher.
Asher.
Good guy. Good guy. He turned me on to the New Balance sneakers. Did you say they have the
big
sale?
He's hoping for you to like grow in your whiskey tastes and you know move into scotches. That's been his progression. He started
well,
with the bourbons when he was like 14.
I had a deal with tequila first.
No,
I think tequila along the way.
We're just talking about the whiskey timeline.
I can't do tequila. I have a similar thing with tequila that I have with Jägermeister.
Tequila
do you get a headache
and lime
from
make
tequila?
A delicious
no, it
marinade
makes me
for chicken.
Oh.
Sure
huh?
Tequila and lime makes a very nice marinade for chicken before you grill it.
Interesting.
It's delicious.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there you go. I can probably I haven't gotten there because it's only been a couple months with the bourbon that
yeah.
I really enjoy, but I could probably see just like when you started out drinking as a kid and you're drinking rum and coke. I mean, it's all syrup. It's all sweet. And then the thought of me drinking a rum and coke right now makes me sick to my stomach, like with all that sugar. Right? And then you get a little older. You might go vodka tonic, right?
Or rum and coke zero, maybe.
Right. But then vodka tonic, the tonic you discover, is a little too sweet. So you go vodka soda.
But you won't get malaria.
What do you mean?
And the tonic water is full of quinine.
Oh, so
they use quinine to treat malaria.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because you won't be getting
water.
Malaria if you're having that anything with tonic.
So
water.
Is that why it's
next time
like
going
gin
South
tonics
America.
Are so popular in with the British and
I think
England.
That's one reason.
Yeah.
But you know, I see people drinking gin and tonics in the evening, and I don't really approve of that either. It's really a daytime drink.
Oh, gin and tonic. Paul Morrison did the gin in gin at the. I want to hear about Morrison.
Yeah.
The shameless Paul Morrison.
What is he up to?
Shameless Paul Morrison shows up. I swear he just smelled the plume, right? He's not involved in any of the barbecue stuff. It was really for the barbecue group.
Oh,
right?
He showed up at your
He weasels in with a cooler.
If I had known, I would have crashed.
A cooler with just what you would be welcome because you contribute. You would
right.
be absolutely be welcome. He never brings any fucking thing. And he fucking stuffs his face. He'll be the first one in the line when something comes off the grill.
Oh, that's funny.
Stuffs his face. He had a bottle of the Bombay Sapphire.
Right.
He drank the whole fucking bottle.
Well, how big was the bottle? Was it in
no,
him?
It wasn't that he didn't share it. I don't know humans that can
what
drink
like
and function boy? A whole thing of Bombay gin. What?
There's different sized bottles. What size
different
bottle?
Was
it was a good size. It was...
It
wasn't little, it was it was like the curve
fifth,
on this ball. It was the same.
Like a fifth.
It was like, yeah.
That's a lot.
That's a juniper berry.
You're lucky. You did correct.
Look up juniper berry.
Yeah,
all
we
right.
took his keys.
Medicinal benefits of juniper berry.
Oh, you
berry.
Did. Oh
yeah.
My God.
Yeah, we took his keys. Kate drove him home.
You're lucky you didn't have to go.
Kate and Chris the Wolf drove him home.
I've driven him
home. After the Harbors parade. You're the one that saved him that time? He's a pro. He's a professional. So anyway, it was a great time.
I'm glad you took his keys.
Let me know next time there's one of these super barbecues. I'll bring the rolls.
The rolls?
Yeah, I'll make dinner rolls to go with your stuff.
Homemade.
You know what?
Delicious rolls.
How about cornbread?
Yeah, cornbread's not really a challenge, though. Anyone can make
but
that.
I bet you make really
I do
good
have
cornbread.
Special cornbread,
I like
though, where
jalapeno
I get
cornbread.
The ultra-fine cornmeal from a mill in rural Alabama, and you call them on the phone and they tell you how much it's going to be and you mail them a check, and after the check clears their bank, which is only open like one day a week here, they mail you this ultra fine cornmeal. It's J.T. Pollard's in Alabama, and I have some here at the house that I use for cornbread, and it's the best.
Oh, I bet that would be wonderful cornbread.
It's a white cornmeal.
Wow.
Excellent.
Ah, well, there you go.
Wow,
that's GloucesterCast 290. Anybody have anything to add?
No, that was a great cast.
It was great.
Fun hearing you reminisce about your...
I'm glad it didn't go way off the rails. I knew it would go a little... Chris McCarthy in the house...
It was off the rails.
You know it could go a little bit off the rails. Now, the before... when we're doing
it's
the
like
show
the
notes...
Amtrak of podcasts.
And there you have it. GloucesterCast 290.
Hashtag trainer.